Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today, we're going to study John chapter 17, verse 13. John chapter 17, verse 13. The verse simply says, "Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now, as I read that verse, I was thinking, you know, we're going to keep going, studying out the passage of Scripture and things. But, you know, there's something very, very valuable in study and joy, particularly these days, just like there was when we dealt with one verse in John chapter 16, when we dealt with prayer and the answer to prayer and how important prayer is. You know, we ended up with five lessons on prayer. Why? Because prayer is such a vital, necessary, important thing for Christians to do today. So what we're going to do with this verse is we're going to stay here for two or three days and deal with some elements of joy. And the reason that we're going to do that is because Christians, above all, should demonstrate the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. We, as Christians, ought to have the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ radiating through our minds and through our hearts and through our voices and through our ears and our very being, that this poor old tattered world and lost people and other Christians would be encouraged that Jesus Christ is the source of all real joy on this side of eternity. This old world has tried every way that it possibly can to infiltrate our joy by entertainment. So much so now people complain regularly that entertainment is moved into the churches because there's no joy left. Entertainment is moved into the churches in order to attract the crowds, in order to get the people to come. You know, the world is so used to being entertained that when Christians are brand new in the Lord, they expect to be entertained inside the four walls of the church. And so the church has willingly accommodated their desire, and young Christians grow up never realizing some of the great elements of joy that are available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of and apart from entertainment. Now today we're going to just deal with some basic things that give joy to Christianity, but you're going to find as this little series on joy progresses that Christians are the only people who can have joy in times of persecution, reproach, and affliction, and sacrifice. As a matter of fact, we seem to have our abundant and exceeding joy in times that would cause the rest of the world to be overcome with stress and distress and despair, because we have something that this world doesn't have. That's why Sam Jones said a century ago, "The worst thing that the devil can do is put a frown on a Christian's face. He can do more damage for the cause of Christ than he can by putting a case of whiskey on the steeple." And that is so true. People get hung up on a variety of things and miss out that this old world is still looking for joy. And it's tried. It's tried. I'm telling you, they found joy and excitement and enthusiasm in their athletics. And so the church brought the athletics in. And they found enthusiasm and joy and happiness in their music. So the church just opened the door and brought the music in. They found happiness and joy and entertainment in their movies. And so the church brought the movies in. And now most of the hymns are sung with movies or overhead projection shot up on the screen. screen there so that everybody can look up, just like they do with their television, just like they do in the movie theaters, and just like they do with their VCRs. It's a crazy, crazy thing. The church has bought a lie. And I'm telling you, joy is in Jesus Christ, not in all those elements that have been brought into the church because we have raised an entertained society. I'm telling you, their athletics, they now have to go. One season just overlaps the other one. Baseball's not through, and hockey's already starting. And basketball and all these other things coming in, football's going on. You got them all going on at the same time so people can just sit there all day long and pow, 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 and watch all their favorite athletics. How's anybody going to get any work done anymore? Now, let me tell you something. There is joy in Jesus Christ. There is joy, first of all, in our salvation. The joy of the Lord is in being saved. You know, when you read over in Romans chapter 5, and Romans verses 10 and 11 in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." The atonement. I'm telling you, there is a time in my life, I pray that if I lose my mind to some sort of a disease like Alzheimer's or something like that, and certainly, I'm certainly not asking God to do that. I'm certainly not making some pronouncement that I want God to do that. You understand that. But I've seen very faithful men of God who in their old age had a little memory lapse. One thing I don't want the Lord to ever let me forget is the joy that I experienced the day that I got saved and right with God. I'm telling you, there's no joy this side of eternity that anybody's ever been able to give me. No joy that anybody's ever been able to give you that will top that. I'm telling you, man, when I knew that all the sins of my life had been taken upon the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and nailed to that old cross, and that I would never face those sins and be waved over the fires of hell and thrown into that pit, I'm telling you, man, there was a joy that came inside of me. And truthfully, as tough as things have gotten, every time I reflect on that time of my salvation, I am happy. You know something? You are too, if you'll take the time to reflect back to that. That is a great day. Listen, your father was the devil. Your father became God. Your destination was hell. Your destination became heaven. You were under the penalty and power and control of your sins, and all of a sudden the Lord said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I'm telling you, man, no court in this land, no court in eternity, nobody nowhere would be able to convict you of sins after Jesus Christ has put those sins on the Lord Jesus Christ and had died for them. Nobody can convict you of those sins and penalize you and sentence you to an eternity in hell. That thing has been solved by Jesus Christ. And that's a great... Listen, the world has no way of duplicating that joy. The world has nothing that it can give you that will give you that kind of joy. Nothing, because the world only mounts up sin. The world has three things in it: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's all it has. These things are not of the Father. And when the world wants to give you something in order to make you happy, it's going to fall in one of those three categories: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. And while those things may tickle your fancy for a little while, they will not keep you from the fires of hell. Only Jesus Christ and God the Father arranged a deal like that. And so when you want to think about something that gives a Christian joy this world cannot have, it's the joy of salvation. No religion on this earth can give it. Nothing that's in this world can give it. Period. It comes from Jesus Christ and God Almighty. We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Period. It's done. Wow, what a great thing. What a real cause for a celebration. But that's not all. I mean, we're just talking about initial joy. As we go through this series, there are going to be a lot of things that you'll see that bring great joy to a Christian. The second thing that brings joy to a Christian is being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, verse 52, the disciples had just gone into a place near Iconium and preached the gospel. Had to wipe the dust off their feet because the people wouldn't receive it and had persecuted the disciples. And the Bible says, and the disciples, in Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Why is that so? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm telling you, there's nothing like being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, this world, and Paul was right. He said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When the world wants to give its people a giddiness that compares with the joy that we have in the Holy Ghost, the world's got to get them drunk. And after that comes the nakedness, then comes the fornication, then comes the unpaid bills. Talking to a fellow just the other day, hired some new employees and some construction work, paid them more money for a week's worth of work than they'd ever seen in their lives. And those guys didn't take a dime of that money home to take care of their family. They went down to the bar room, they drank it up, and spent it on the women. That's the world! And those guys thought they'd had a good time. Let me tell you something. That's the way the world does it. The world, when it wants to make you happy, will charge you more than you can afford to pay. Keep you longer than you can afford to stay. That's the problem with this old world. And then when you are ready to quit, it's got you in a prison house and will not let you go. How many people do you know that started out trying to use a little drugs, use a little alcohol, and to this day they cannot quit? You know what? They no longer have the joy that was promised by that stuff. You know what they have now is misery, busted families, broken homes, destitute children, busted businesses. That's the world for you. Man, we got joy! And that's exciting! Filled with the Spirit. You say, boy, but that every time I want to get filled with the Spirit, my flesh takes a beating. Well, glory to God! Because your flesh is going to end up in a grave. It might as well get used to what it's going to experience until God Almighty brings it out of that hole in the ground and gives it a glorified body at the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We're joyful when we're filled with the Spirit. And the world cannot duplicate that kind of joy because the world is contrary to the Spirit, the flesh is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to this world, and the Spirit is contrary to this flesh. And I'm telling you, there's no joy like the joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. This morning, I'm out walking my dog, praising the Lord Jesus Christ and thinking about the great and wonderful things that He had done. Praying over the spiritual armor that God has given us, reminding myself from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And as that armor was coming on and I was praying over that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness, the loins girt about with the truth, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and those knees unprotected so we could bow before His throne in prayer. Brother, the Holy Spirit, fill me up, and I'm telling you, I hadn't gotten over that joy even right now. There's nothing in this world that can duplicate that thing. And you know something? You've been filled with the Spirit before. You may be backslidden. You may be dragging around. You may be long-faced. You may be sad. You may be having trouble. But I'll tell you, if you'll get down there before the Lord God and get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, by getting right with Him, you'll have a joy that'll overcome all that stuff and overshadow all that stuff. But that's not all. Not only are you get initial joy in your own salvation and filled with the Spirit of God, but you get joy when you realize you're eternally secure. Joy comes from salvation. Joy comes from the Spirit. Joy comes from eternal security. Nothing like knowing that nobody on this planet can get you into hell once Jesus Christ has saved you from that place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's in the text we're studying today. In John 17:13, he said, "Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." What did he speak? He said, "I'm no more in the world," in verse 11. "These are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name." Keep through thine own name. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Now God's going to keep them. The one he lost is Judas Iscariot. Well, you know what that's all about. We just talked about that yesterday. Eternal security. Nothing in this world can promise you anything forever. I guess I take that back. There are two things this world can promise you forever: death and taxes. Isn't that what they said? How about those two? That's a great combination, isn't it? What do you have to look forward to in this world? Death and taxes. What a combination. Boy, I'll tell you, once you came to the cross of Calvary, bowed your head before the Lord, I realize that you may have been confused by some teacher that doesn't want you to believe that you've been saved forever so he can keep waving you over the flames of hell to get some control over you, to put some fear in you so you'll line up with his doctrine and do as he says. But that's not the testimony of this Word of God. That's not the testimony of this Word of God at all. I realize there are verses in there that will show you periods of time or episodes that look like you can lose your salvation, or a place where you could, if you're hanging around here in the tribulation and you take the mark of the beast, there you go. There's somebody that could lose it. But you're not going to be here for that anyway. So what you worried about? You see, you've been listening to these guys who've been teaching you wrong, and you've been believing what they said. Now you got yourself all bum-fuzzled about what's fixing to happen to you. Hey, man, that's going to hurt your joy. But that's not what God gave us. God, right here, Jesus Christ told his Father, he said, "You keep them. I've been keeping them since I was here, and I didn't lose any of them. Now you keep them." You think God, the Father's going to lose them when Jesus Christ didn't lose them while he was down here? No way. And you know what? That's a cause for joy. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them." Glory to God. I love it. Isn't that wonderful? We've got joy, real joy, something the world cannot do. Why? Because we're saved. Why? Because we're filled with the Spirit. Why? Because we're eternally secure. And that's not all. Here's another cause for joy: our perfection before the Lord. Our perfection before the Lord. Our salvation gives us joy. Filling with the Spirit gives us joy. Eternal security gives us joy, and our perfection before the Lord gives us joy. Look in Jude verse 24. Jude verse 24, you know what it says? "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Faultless? Faultless before the presence of his glory? I don't know about you, but I know about me. And I don't know about you, but I do know about some folks. There are some of us who are very glad that when we stand before the Lord God Almighty, we're going to be perfect and faultless in the presence of his glory. With exceeding joy. You know, one of the great tricks of the devil is to take a Christian who's been saved, and I mean really and truly, some Christians, some new Christians, they've come from such a bad background that when they get saved, they just tell you right away in their own words, "I feel like a great weight has just been lifted off of my shoulders, but I got a lot of stuff in there." Now they get home and they've been serving the Lord and they've been getting excited and they've been reading their Bible, but you know, they're not used to singing to the Lord. They're not used to praying. They're not used to going to church. They're not used to giving. They're not used to hearing the Word of God preached and responding to the preaching. And so, you know, the whole world comes in there, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a somebody's going to be going out of town. Oh, yeah, I need to make that trip, and the job's a little bit tough, and you get stressed out and miss that Wednesday night. Little by little, the world starts encroaching in on that thing, and you know, all of a sudden, the devil comes in there at a time when they're sort of distracted and says, man, you remember all that horrible, wicked, nasty stuff you did back then? And starts whipping you to death with it. Let me tell you something. Don't believe the devil's lie in that thing. Jude said in verse 24 that God is able to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Your sins are gone, man. They really are. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. They're as far as the east is from the west, in the depths of the sea, behind His back, under the blood, forgiven. Forgiven. And when you stand before God Almighty in His presence, you're going to be perfect. Now, I realize you got to battle with that old stuff right now, and you got to really be careful there and walk in the grace of God and armed with His armament and all. Stay in the Word of God, stay on your knees, keep doing battle with that old flesh in your spirit. I understand that. But just keep in mind, the end of the race is victory and perfection before the Lord God. Now, that's a cause for joy. Just throw that back whenever you get accused. And I'll tell you something else that will cause you to have joy, the love of Jesus and the Father. In John chapter 15, verse 9, the Bible says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Wow! Wow! So you mean, yes, exactly. Jesus Christ gave you His joy and said, I want it to remain in you. And the way I want you to know that it's going to remain in you is that the same way the Father loved me, that's the way I love you. Now stay in my love. And not only will I give you my joy, but that your joy might be full. You want the fullness of joy? Then you get yourself in a position where you're in a right relationship with God, where the love of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ will be on you continually. You say, how do I do that? Do right. That's it. Just do right. You say, well, what's right? The Bible is filled with what to do that's right. And your conscience will give you some discernment there. If you don't know what to do, and you're sitting in a position of doubt on a certain thing, don't do till you know how to do right. See, and it's easy. Is it right to go back to the bar and drink after you get saved? No, it's not right. All right, then don't do that. And when you do start walking according to the commandments of the Lord and the Father's commandments, you abide in His love. It's not right, see, to do certain things, and it is right to do a lot of other things. It's right to pray. It's right to read your Bible. It's right to go to church. It's right to give. It's right to love. It's right, see how many good things there are? The Old Testament is a lot of thou shalt nots. The New Testament is a lot of thou shalt. There's some nots in there too, but there's some thou shalts. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy brother. See that? As Jesus loved us, that's the way we're to love each other. That's good stuff right there. And the love of the Lord. Can you imagine Jesus Christ and God Almighty with all the stuff they had on us before we got saved, loving us the way that God the Father loved the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what He said. Now, if you can't get happy about a thing like that, I know how you are. When you first fell in love with the woman you married, or you first fell in love with the man you married, nobody could shut you up. You were on cloud nine. And you experienced what it was to be full of joy because you found somebody that loved you. Now, you've got somebody that loves you continually. That's Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, that's, I'm telling you, that's joy 24 hours a day. But that's not all. Something else that gives you joy is the fellowship with Jesus and the Father. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That's from 1 John, verses 3 and 4 out of the first chapter there. In other words, not only does God the Father and Jesus Christ love you at a distance, but they have fellowship with you. Even as I'm talking with you now, you're driving in your car, working at your business place, sitting at home, wherever you are, right now, you're having fellowship, if you want, with Jesus Christ and God the Father. And He said, you know why I'm giving you that fellowship? That your joy might be full. I don't know how you are, and I know how I am. When I see a friend that I hadn't seen in a while, man, I am glad to be with them. I am glad to have that time together. And it really gives me a great surge in my heart to be in their presence. You know something? You are in the presence of the Lord God and God the Father 24 hours a day. And if you will realize that, you can have their joy, your joy, full all day long. And then the last thing that we'll deal with today is brotherly love. In Philippians, Paul says in chapter 2, verse 2, this brotherly love, he said, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Brotherly love. You know something that I really, it just thrilled my soul when I got saved, was to be able to go into a church where the Bible was preached and where souls loved to hear it preached, and we had chance to have fellowship with each other in addition to having fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, fellowship with my Savior and my God, my Father. Man, you covered in all bases there. All bases. Now listen, let's do a little review here. What gives you initially as a Christian, what gives you joy? First of all, just being saved. Secondly, being filled with the Spirit of God. Third, your eternal security, realizing, thank God, that He saved you forever. Fourthly, your perfection before the Lord. We wrecked it before we got saved, and God said, "I don't see it. I don't see it." We'll be faultless before Him in His presence. That's exceeding joy. The love of Jesus Christ and God the Father. You know, all of us need and want to be loved, and you have somebody that loves you all the time. And access to that love, just do right. Just fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with the Father. When I went into the ministry, the man that trained me said, "The hardest job you'll ever have is maintaining your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ." There's the next thing. You know why? Because there's so many distractions that will get your eyes off of Jesus. The old song says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." Paul said, "Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth." Fellowship with Jesus and the Father is the cause for great joy among Christians. It's the fullness of joy. Don't look for fellowship from the world. You'll miss your fellowship with Jesus and the Father. And then finally, brotherly love. You say, "Well, I'm in a church where people don't love each other." All right then, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You try to extend the first hand. If it doesn't work, then seek the Lord's will. Brotherly love, fellowship with Jesus and the Father, love of Jesus and the Father, our perfection before the Lord, eternal security, filled with the Spirit, our own salvation. There's seven things right there this world cannot give you and never will. That's something that is just available for Christians. And those were your initial joy. We got more to come. Isn't this great? I pray God will fill you with His joy, and you'll walk in that joy every day till the Lord comes back.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.